I don't think you're ambulatory enough to even have a job, you dumb sh**.
Geek Juice Radio.
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? Which is the Jello?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to another wonderful, just groin-grabbingly good episode of Geek Juice Radio. How's everybody doing? Tonight, we will be delving into what may turn into a very sensitive topic. Expect a lot of yelling and, y'all don't know me, as tonight we get into censorship.
Did you just turn into a BAP there?
I did, and I'll do it again, goddammit. Personal censorship... We have some parents among us, myself, Jowski, and Josh. What do we not want our kids watching? What kind of censorship do we enact? And Kevin, what kind of stuff were you sheltered from as a kid? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And that's all I got for now. So, baton.
Well, what got me thinking about the topic is my daughter's really been wanting to watch Bratz. She's like, I want to watch Bratz. Can I watch Bratz? And I'm like, no, because that's a show I've disallowed for her.
Yeah, is that not like basically Jersey Shore for kids?
Yeah, it's like an animated Jersey Shore. Like, what if Barbie wasn't handed every opportunity and she was like a latchkey kid? She would be a brat right now.
It's sort of like Jersey Shore with fewer STDs.
That's a fair estimation.
I've never seen the show. I just never seen the dolls and wondering why the hell these were marketed at kids.
Yeah, that's why I don't let her watch the show, though. I'm like, these are terrible influences for her. I don't want her to latch onto these as a role model, so no, she's not allowed to watch Bratz. And my ex is jokingly giving me crap about, I thought you were against censorship. Why are you censoring this?
It's all about the bling bling.
No, censorship is trying to keep everybody from seeing it. Trying to keep your daughter from seeing it is just parenting and common sense and instinct, pretty much.
I was going to say, Charlie, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's called being a parent, not being a censor.
And that's the dividing line, though, because you have, okay, the difference between me and censorship is I don't want my daughter to watch Bratz, so I tell her, you're not allowed to watch this show. But then you get people out there that go, well, I don't want my kids to watch this show, so I'm going to petition and have this show pulled off the air. So I just have to...
Yep, that's where you get the line. That was the big seismic spike in your line there.
So you're going all Terry Ricolta. You guys know Terry Ricolta, right?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie does. What about you, Kevin?
No.
All right, there was a Married with Children episode back in 89. I believe it was middle of season 2 called Her Pup Runneth Over. And it was the one where they stopped making Peggy's bra. And so...
Oh.
So she was trying to, you know, mismatch different bras because she apparently has two different sized boobs, so she needs a special one. And you got to remember, the show takes place in Chicago, so Al and Steve had to go across the border to a lingerie store here in Wisconsin to get her special bra. And there was like a guy, you know, the guy wearing a garter belt, and there was a really the only way I can put it was, and the guy referred to himself as a queen, you know, a very stereotypical gay guy straight out of a police academy. Blue Oyster Bar movie with the hat and the mustache and everything. And Terry Ricolta saw this. And you got to remember, this aired on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. So she lost her mind that, oh, my God, this is airing in what she was calling the family hour. And so she petitioned Fox to take the show off the air. They, of course, laughed at her. Well, then she actually went the extra step. And this is a rich white woman, by the way. She went the extra step and went to all the advertisers on Married with Children and said, how dare you advertise on this filth? And she organized a campaign, and all sexual innuendo taken out of this, all of the advertisers pulled out of Married with Children. And more advertisers came to them due to the controversy, but the censorship on the show filtered down. So all of a sudden, the episode, I'll See You in Court, never even aired until 2002 because it was considered too controversial to have come two or three episodes after the Rakolta campaign had started. So she had decided she didn't want her kids to see Married with Children, and that also meant Alex and Charlie, your kids couldn't see it either.
Right.
Yes, that is the thing, is it's important for the parents to make the decisions for their own kids, not for everybody else's kids. If you don't want your kid to watch a show, you tell your kid, I don't want you to watch this show, and you be a parent and enforce your rule.
Sure.
So my parents didn't let me watch. They didn't like me watching The Simpsons, which to this day I still am confused by. Didn't want me to watch Martin, which I think I saw like two episodes of, and I can't remember what the big deal about that show was either.
They were just trying to protect you from Shanae with that one.
Could be. And then, but they had no issues with me watching Married with Children. And they had no issues with me watching, like, the George Carlin show or some of these other shows.
I loved the George Carlin show.
That would be arguably just as objectionable, if not more so than The Simpsons. So I was always very confused by that.
Yeah, like my parents kept me from The Simpsons.
I want to say something to Kevin. Kevin, I think what it is was the fact that The Simpsons is animated somehow saying f- or the equivalent of saying f- from a cartoon is deemed worse than from a human for whatever reason.
Could be. Maybe they were worried about the influence of, you know, Bart's antics and that I was going to replicate some of that.
That's perhaps why my parents.
You're a bit impressionable.
Could be, but again, you know, George Carlin, cool. Yeah, and totally cool.
And ultimately, I wound up imitating George Carlin's antics.
Right.
Well, that's basically, I believe, why my parents kept me from Simpsons, because Bart Simpson was a role model, and being that he was, in a sense, part of my peer group, same age, I guess.
So was Bud Bundy.
No, Bud Bundy
was a lecherous little turd.
Yeah, but he wasn't portrayed as favorable.
I didn't watch a lot of.
He was presented in a way that people would want to emulate because he was a loser. You know what I mean?
The thing I find the funniest about the whole Bud Bundy constantly going after tail is the fact that David Faustino is now gay. I just always find that really ironic in retrospect.
But like my parents also kept they didn't want me to get Nirvana's In Utero.
Well, they were just protecting you from bad music.
Hey, I like that album.
That was a good album. Shut your filthy clam, Josh.
Like my mom actually bought Nevermind for me. But In Utero, because of the song Rape Me, and my mom, nor did I even at the time know what the song was about.
Metaphorical.
Well, then you should have bought the Walmart version called Waif Me.
There wasn't Walmarts where I lived.
See, there was, I don't know, you guys are saying all this stuff. I'm now realizing that I was not kept from anything, like anything at all, when I was a kid. My parents were both really liberal. Like, I watched Beavis and Butthead, Headbangers Ball. I watched,
Oh, yeah, Beavis and Butthead, that was another one my parents wouldn't let me watch. I had to beg them
to
let me see
all
that.
Shit. Like, I've watched Saturday Night Live every week since I was, like, nine.
I'm a little older than, sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
We were talking before the show about Roger Ebert. The reason I was allowed to see the Beavis and Butthead do American movie is because Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel gave it two thumbs up. That was the reason why I was allowed to see it.
Because it was a good movie.
Was a good movie.
But my parents, I know they wanted to keep me away from Beavis and Butthead if they'd known it existed and that I'd been, you know, because I'd been watching it like every time it was on, then controversy about it. And my dad's like, do you know of this show? I'm like, oh, yeah, I watch it like all the time. Oh, well, you've already been watching it, I guess it's okay.
And see, since I'm older than you guys, like when Beavis and Butthead was your childhood, that's when I was getting out of high school when those came. So I was a totally different age when Beavis and Butthead was an issue.
Even content, like I don't know if like what age you're at when it hits you. I don't think it matters because like, I mean, Josh, I talked about this on that Cheech and Chong retrospective we did. I watched Up in Smoke for the first time when I was nine with my mom.
Oh, my dad
laughed my ass off.
My dad took me to the theater to see Platoon and Full Metal Jacket. My dad took me to the theater to see Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been fun. I love that movie. I was too young. Obviously, I don't think I was born when that came out.
No,
I was really little. There are certain films you see. Like, I remember seeing Star Trek the Motion Picture in the theater. I mean, it's nothing objectionable. All I remember is a bald chick and the Enterprise shooting rainbows out its butt. That's all I took away from seeing that in the theater.
Right out its butt.
But then on the other hand, my mom took me to see Alien when I was four, and I didn't sleep for a f***ing week. Because I didn't make it past the chest-bursting scene. All I could see at the end of my bed was the chest burster just sitting there going, go ahead, go to sleep. I won't hurt you. Go ahead. You got nothing to fear from me.
The way that the censorship ended with my parents, though, is because for years my mom wouldn't let me buy Guns N' Roses Use Your Illusion. And finally, I went down and bought a used copy because they had that tipper sticker on the cellophane. So if you bought it used, it didn't have the sticker.
My wife had to have her aunt buy, I believe it was Skid Row's Slave to the Grind for her. The record store wouldn't sell that to her.
But my mom had found out I bought it, and she stopped me when I came home with it. And I had my grandma over, and my mom just started reading the lyrics aloud. And it gets to a line that says, fuck you, bitch. And my mom finally fesses up that it wasn't, she wasn't keeping me from it because of any moral issue or anything like that or anything I would take from it. It was the fact that she didn't like it. And after that, my parents figured that I would call bullshit anytime they censored because it was over their likes, not their morality, so to speak.
So let me see if I get this straight, Alex. So they had an issue with that, but on Appetite for Destruction, turned around, bitch, I got a use for you. Besides, you ain't got nothing better to do when I'm bored, is okay.
Oh, no, I didn't even know about Appetite for Destruction then. I was just into the Use Your Illusion one.
See, I remember when Appetite for Destruction first hit, my mom would not buy it for me. And she worked at a department store at the time, one of the only ones in town, so I couldn't just sidestep it and, you know, go into the store on her day off because all the employees knew who I was. So I had to pay one of my friends to go in and buy me the cassette for Appetite for Destruction. That's how bad shit was in my house when it came to metal music.
When I got to high school, my parents didn't care at all. In fact, they would actually explain what songs were for me. They'd see me listening to Motley Crue. They'd be like, do you know what Dr. Feelgood means? Here, let me tell you.
It means heroin.
Mr. Brownstone.
But see, to me, like, when I was raising my kid, obviously, Charlie and Alex, your kids are a lot younger than mine, so it's a different era. But the two things we would not let him watch, one was a personal, I wouldn't allow South Park in my house no matter what. I wouldn't allow that garbage, because first of all, when that came out, he was at that age that kids repeat everything that they see on TV. So I did not allow South Park in my house, so my brother went behind my back and was showing it to him. The first time I heard that you will respect my authority thing, I put my goddamn foot down about that, you know? South Park does not enter his brain while I'm in control. It was that, and even though my wife and I watched it all the time, we always made him go to his room when we watched NYPD. Because the last thing we need is him going up to his teacher and going, Ipsidis, you pissy little bitch!
I saw a ginger's ass on TV last night.
Well, one thing that...
Again, my parents had no issues with me watching
South Park and NYPD Blue.
No issues with me watching South Park, no issues with watching NYPD Blue. But these, I was older when those shows were on.
Well, yeah, like I was allowed to watch NYPD Blue. I didn't.
But I saw like two or three episodes.
Just wasn't my cup of tea, but I was allowed to watch it.
There are times I have kept my daughter from watching shows because of taste, though, like SpongeBob SquarePants. Yep. the reason that's banned is just because I hate the show. It has nothing to do with the content.
My mom used to, and this is back even before it got really bad, my mom tried to, since I was older, my brother's 4 years younger, I was allowed to watch Ren and Stimpy, but my brother was not. So I couldn't watch Ren and Stimpy if my brother was around.
See, that's interesting, because my parents wouldn't let me watch, and if my siblings were not allowed to watch it, I was not allowed to watch it.
Which just seems arbitrary.
Well, I mean, I think...
Phobia when it came out, and my parents were like, it's okay for you, but your sister's too young, so you're not going to see it.
Well, actually, it also depends on, like, what order, like, what your birth order is.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
Honestly. Yeah, like, I was the youngest. I have two sisters, and I was the youngest. And by the time, like, I was growing up, my parents were fucking crazy. Like, they just had completely let go. They're like, yeah, whatever.
You don't care, Charlie. Just do it. We don't care at this point.
I kept your sister away from that show, but look at her now, so.
Because I remember the thing with Ren and Stimpy. That was, what, 89 or 90 was Ren and Stimpy? I'm trying to peg what age I was at that point.
89 or 90 sounds about right.
So I would have been 14 in 89 or 15 in 90 when that hit. So I think they said, okay, he's old enough to make his own decision on what gross cartoon, whereas my brother would have been 10 or 11. To me, there is that distinct age difference that I can see where my parents came from on that one.
I'm sure my parents would have kept my sister and I from Ren and Stimpy if they knew more about the show. Like, they believe that, oh, it's on Nickelodeon, so it's good. I think Rugrats is fine, so anything else they show must be good.
Yeah, I think I had that, too. I think that my parents didn't know how subversive Ren and Stimpy was, and so they didn't care
really
if I watched
subversive.
It.
Don't whiz on the electric fence.
Yeah.
That was
like
one of my favorite
ones. They really put a happy face on the most horrible on that cartoon.
And the I think, Charlie, what you mean is an extreme close-up in HD.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if HD had been around back then? Holy s***. They never would have allowed that show before 11 p.m.
You know, and you also had ones that, in retrospect, not like I would have banned my son from them, but you kind of go, you know what? Maybe you're watching a little bit too much adult TV. Once we were at a Goodwill, my son's 5-6 years old. My wife and I are watching Highlander, the TV series on USA, every afternoon at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. My son grabs a plastic sword. My wife's signaling me, he was 4. My son grabs a plastic sword, hits me in the neck with it, and goes, "I'm Duncan MacLeod, and I cut your head off." You start going, "All right, I think it's a little too much Highlander for you, kiddo."
There can be only one, Josh.
Yeah, there can be only one, Dad.
And then one year we were at the Michigan State Fair, and he found like this shark, this really hard, thick plastic shark toy sitting on one of the rides. So all of a sudden he starts jamming it into my arm, going, "Bite you, bite you, bite you." And I'm going, "All right, no more Shark Week for you, kid." Yeah, no, because we had just watched Shark Week like a night or two before Shark Week had started. And it's just like, all right, enough Shark Week. You know, you don't start ramming toys into my arms and screaming, "Bite you, bite you."
There was the issue with being like stay-at-home kid, latchkey kids, though, with both parents working, is that they couldn't really enforce. They could make a rule of don't watch this.
Mm-hmm.
But like, one afternoon, Friday the 13th was on television in the summer. And
oh, yeah, like basic cable used to do that back then.
And I wanted to watch it, so my sister calls my dad at work, "Can we watch Friday the 13th part 3? And then my sister's like,
"Basic cable, you're not going to see anything anyway."
My sister's like, "He said no." I'm like, "Okay, then we just won't tell him we watched it."
And see, my parents had the weirdest rules when it came to that kind of stuff. I could watch a Friday the 13th movie. I could watch The Blob. I could watch I Spit on Your Grave. But I could not watch an Emmanuel movie. That's got sex in it? No. That's got a guy's head being cleaved in two? Okay.
So yeah, that is really weird.
That's when my parents
drew
the line.
If the sex was consensual, it's a problem. But if it's a rape, it's cool.
I guess because
only if she bleeds.
It's a horror movie.
Only if one of them bleed.
So, go ahead.
My cousin watched all sorts of stuff when he was young, like 4, 5, 6 years old. Seen all the Friday the 13th, all the Nightmare on Elm Street. Saw Evil Dead 1 and 2, Army of Darkness. And he would talk about that stuff all the time. I only saw him like once or twice a year, and he'd always talk about all that stuff. And I'm like, his parents are crazy, because my parents were never. I was not allowed to see PG-13 movies. I think the first one I ever saw was Addams Family. And my parents had to, like, screen it first to make sure it was okay.
I kind of think that rules like that are good for kids in a way. Not because it'll protect them from something. Because as adults, we all know that watching a scary movie is not going to traumatize a kid. Nobody is f***ing traumatized from a movie. And I think having rules like that are good. Because if they break them, then they sort of get that little sense of freedom. Ooh, I just broke a rule. But it's not really an important rule. Because if someone grows up in fear of all rules, that's how you get, like, serial killers and
I mean, my son used to watch Monster Vision with me. And yes, so the movies are edited in the same way Jowski's Basic Cable Friday the 13th are. But here's my son, 6, 7 years old, screaming, "Don't go in there! That's where Jason is!" You know, while watching Monster Vision. And he's yelling at the TV, and he's smarter than the people in the movie!
The only time I think my parents screened a movie for me was when RoboCop came out on video. And all the kids at school were talking about it, and I wanted to see it. And I was 7, 8 at the time.
Violent flick.
My parents watched it, and then they come out of their bedroom, and I'm like, "So can I watch it? Oh, hell no."
My parents are probably right in my case, because I tend to be very violent sensitive. I know, says the guy who watched is going through the Joe D'Amato filmography. But,
yeah.
I've never been really good with gory movies. It depends, though, because I have no issues with any of the Alien movies or the Predator or whatever. But there's certain things. Slit throats, really. I can't see Sweeney Todd. I will refuse to see Sweeney Todd because it will make me vomit.
But it's precious.
It's just certain things make me sick.
Okay, so, to me, Kevin, that is eyeballs. The eyeball scene in Zombie.
Oh, shit.
You guys should have seen. No, my son was 17 or so when I showed this to him, so he was not really a kid at all. Showed him the eyeball scene. Just picture a 17-year-old kid sitting in his chair, gripping the grips, and just kind of squirming like, oh my God. But he wouldn't tear his eyes away from it. I could see just how uncomfortable it made him with that eyeball scene.
My issue is fingernails, though, like Audition, where they stick stuff under the fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
That
was really uncomfortable.
Have you seen Syriana, where they peel his fingernails off with pliers?
Oh, I could just imagine.
Actually, and it's George Clooney that's having that happen to him, too.
The thing,
How about Marathon Man, the dental torture scene?
Oh, yes, that scene.
Or, Kevin, how about this? The Dentist 2 with Corbin Burnson, where he's destroying that woman's teeth to get information out of her.
The jaw spreader.
Yeah, that made my teeth hurt just bringing that up.
Yeah, that part with the jaw spreader was brutal, man. But, like, with fingernails, like Audition and stuff like that, like Syriana, that's, like, too drawn out to be really scary for me. The fingernail scene that always got me was in Land of the Dead, when those zombies were clawing their way into the mall.
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason, that just didn't sit right.
Speaking of that one, it just made my belly button itch, where the zombie uses his teeth to pull that woman's belly button ring out.
Awesome.
Oh, I remember that scene.
Yeah.
Oh, it just made my stomach itch. My wife and I saw that in the theater, and I bet she squirming in the seat.
To get back to banning stuff for children, I have a list of top 10 banned cartoons.
Sure we've talked about
a couple. Are these shows or individual, like a specific Looney Tunes or something?
Like episodes or?
It's shows.
Okay.
That could be because of a specific episode of the show in general.
I'm guessing we talked about like 5 of them.
So far, number 10 is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
God, I don't get why that would
I have never seen an episode. What is so potentially offensive about stupid high creatures that don't love?
See, I think I've seen every episode, but I ask the same question. What the hell is wrong with it?
Yeah, Jowski doesn't like it. I haven't seen anything wrong with it. It's a little bit... It's not really for kids, but it's also not like... It's not Beavis and Butthead. It's not...
Dude, Jeffrey Tambor was in the movie. Okay, David Hasselhoff played himself. What is your beef?
Yeah, it's not even like The Simpsons.
Gross-out humor for kids.
Kind of.
Okay, now, you can edit this into before when we were talking about gross stuff. Charlie, you said you had an issue with fingernails. You ever seen Stir of Echoes?
Yes.
Remember scene in that?
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to the commentary to hear the funny story about the test audience in that scene? Okay, when they tested that scene, it did not have any sound effects, and everyone was fine. The sound is actually a wet piece of broccoli being snapped. When they tested it again after the sound effect, they said a woman actually threw up. That's how much the sound effect made a difference in that scene.
Well, sound effects do that all the time. I remember being very like scared of a couple scenes in Predator because of like the jump stingers.
Dink!
Yeah. But if you like know it's coming and it's like, okay, here comes, it's not scary at all. It's entirely the music.
Yeah.
So you can edit that into when we were talking about but that made me think of that, Charlie, that yeah, Stir of Echoes, that one only works with a sound effect, apparently.
The reason people try to ban SpongeBob SquarePants is a lot of religious groups argue that cheerful SpongeBob is a gay icon who promotes an alternative lifestyle to children.
Oh, yeah, because My Little Pony's
Yeah.
My Little Pony are rainbow-colored ponies that walk around and preach love. Yeah, that's not a gay icon.
Next would be Tiny Toon Adventure, specifically one episode.
That show was
awesome. What is offensive about Tiny Toon Adventure?
Yeah, there's nothing offensive about that show, and it was awesome. So
I watch that every day.
Are we talking the serial-killing hitchhiker or what?
The episode entitled One Beer.
Okay.
I remember this one. It was the whole half hour. The whole point of that episode was anti-drinking.
Yeah, it showed the negative side effects of drinking underage. How is that bad?
It was like an after-school special.
Yeah. Only for people that don't watch after school specials, people that watch cartoons.
Right.
Which would be high teenagers.
Well,
and me. When I was just
so
a teenager.
High teenagers.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you weren't a high teenager, Charlie?
No, I was just a regular teenager.
Oh, okay.
I'm a high adult.
High part came later.
Yeah.
Next would be Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Some people had their beefs. I mean, I disagree with the whole first censoring it and then just taking it off the air for 5 years and then bringing it back. But I can see where people would have their beef. But everybody missed the point that Beavis and Butthead are the idiot characters of that show. Like, that's like everything they do has consequences, and they're presented in a way that no sane person would want to emulate.
Yeah, they're not things to aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was there was an episode titled Comedians that depicted Beavis and Butthead burning down a comedy club.
Yes, I remember that.
There was also the real life incident of the KFC lizard, because it showed the episode where they were deep fat frying the worms. Remember when they worked at that McDonald's knockoff?
Burger World.
Burger World, thank you. And then some asshole who worked at a KFC found a lizard in their parking lot, deep fried it, served it to a woman. She bit into it and sued KFC for like $45 million. And his defense was, in Beavis and Butthead, they didn't get sued. So there was part of the controversy of, if you're f***ing stupid enough to follow something that happened on a goddamn cartoon, I don't think you're ambulatory enough to even have a job, you dumb s***.
It's true. I mean, people that die emulating cartoon violence, it's killing all the right people.
Next,
I don't even want to subject you to the horrors of our Three Stooges wing from The Simpsons.
Next would be a specific episode of Family Guy, When You Wish Upon a Weinstein.
Okay, so it's got a broad racial stereotype of a Jewish guy, but the whole point of the episode is that not all Jewish people are like this.
Yes. People miss the point. They only focus. Oh my god, this list is f***ing pissing me off, sir.
And I don't even like Family Guy.
I like the first three seasons. That's about it.
Now, there's The Simpsons.
Yeah, we've discussed. I still to this day don't see what's so objectionable about the show. Yeah, Bart's a little bit of a mischief maker. He never gets into really serious trouble.
I don't know. The last few seasons, Bart's been kind of a douchebag. I wouldn't call him a mischief maker anymore. He's a douchebag now.
Well, like the first few seasons, it was all about Bart and his mischief, but then they realized that the show should really be about the family, and they
actually, they realized Homer became the breakout character. But yeah, the show was supposed to be the family was Bart's supporting cast, and then they found more people like Homer than they like Bart.
Like, if you watch the first few episodes, Homer's a pretty normal guy. He's not the idiot that he becomes in later seasons.
Same with Married with Children. Al's just a normal guy in the first couple of seasons. He doesn't become kind of a caricature of Al until later. And Peggy cooked, and Al liked to have sex. With Peggy, even.
I never got why he didn't want to have sex with Peggy. It's like, she's not bad looking.
Not bad at all.
Especially when she was always in that very boob-revealing nightie.
Right.
Katie Seagal has always had nice knockers. Yeah. Even on Sons of Anarchy with the heart surgery scar.
Pacemaker?
Oh.
I don't remember if she had a pacemaker or if she just had heart surgery.
Like bypass?
Yeah, she had a bypass in real life. Katie Seagal did.
I didn't hear about that. That's sad.
Yeah, you can see the huge scar on between her boobs on Sons of Anarchy because she dresses really slutty on that, which is really hot in a weird way.
No, I didn't hear.
Well, I hope she's all right now because I didn't hear about that.
Josh, you remember that episode of Tales from the Crypt where with the guy hearing Sam Kinison's voice in his head?
Wasn't that Don Rickles?
No, that was a different Tales from the Crypt. That was the one with Bobcat Goldthwait, the ventriloquist dummy.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
But Katie Seagal was in the other one. She dressed like really slutty biker metal kind of in that one, too.
Well, her husband is Kurt Sutter, the writer and creator, and he plays Otto on Sons of Anarchy. So imagine writing your wife into all those scenes.
There you go.
The next show on here is one
role playing on a national scale.
The next show is one I've never heard of because it never made it to the U.S. It was a British show that's not even gotten a DVD release in the U.S. because people are that objective to it.
Huh.
It's called Pope Town.
Sounds like something we need to get our hands on. That's what it sounds like to me.
Sounds like a good time.
I don't know it, so I can't comment.
Well, it's
about
the
never heard of Pope Town.
The Pope is an infantile idiot, always up to some sort of wacky sexual antic.
Well, I've heard of this.
Do you guys remember that movie, that really awful movie, The Pope Must Die, from the late 80s, early 90s?
The Pope Must Diet?
Yeah, The Pope Must Diet.
No, that's not what it was in the theater. The theatrical release was The Pope Must Die. They added the f***ing T for the video release.
That makes a lot more sense. Because of the
controversy.
That does it makes a lot more sense, because there's not a single joke about his weight in the whole movie.
Yeah,
I'm like
there's nothing about dieting whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right. If you look up the original posters for its theatrical run, it's just The Pope Must Die. It was only Diet when it hit home video.
Next is obviously South Park for countless reasons.
Maybe
I like South Park. I know Josh doesn't like South Park, but I like South Park. I especially the early seasons I thought were very funny.
I think South Park just keeps getting better, man.
Well, specific Kevin, episodes that have.
Kevin, you know what's funny about what you just said? I was reading an article at the doctor's office or something in Entertainment Weekly, and the guys that do South Park, when asked what their worst favorite episodes they are, they said seasons 1 through 3.
I like those seasons, though.
So even the creators don't like the first 3 seasons.
I know. I like them, though.
I just watched the Chef 8 episode earlier today.
Episodes that were banned, though, of South Park are Bloody Mary, that had the menstruating Virgin Mary statue.
I haven't seen that one.
That one was very funny.
And Jared Has AIDS. And the reason that one was banned is because it had Butters at the receiving end of beating from his parents.
Oh.
Not the homemade liposuction?
Nope, it was because of his parents beating him.
So his parents beating him is objectionable, but something with AIDS is not.
No.
I think my favorite South Park episode is Scott Tenenbaum Must Die.
Oh my god, that was brutal.
to see how incredibly f***ed up Cartman is.
Yeah, oh wow.
It's a great one.
Okay, because you guys remember Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah.
Yes.
There was the controversial episode on that where one of the kids' classmates had AIDS. You know, it was one of those very special episodes.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually nothing offensive in the AIDS plotline, but you know how those sitcoms always had a B-plot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The B-plot has one of the funniest under-the-radar racist jokes I've ever heard on a mainstream sitcom. The son is playing Lincoln in the school play. And, you know, he's walking around with the beard and the hat, you know, throughout school. And he goes up to the black kid, grabs his cupcake during lunch and goes, "Give me your cupcake and I'll free ya." That's just brilliant.
I'm not sure how under the radar that really is, though.
It was just one of those quick jokes and then they just moved on. And it's like, really? That was quite a racist joke there, especially to put in the very special episode, too.
But it's kids.
The next one on here is Ren and Stimpy, specifically an episode entitled Man's Best Friend.
That the one where the guy's abusing the dog for the dog show?
Yeah, that one didn't – not only did they not air it, it didn't even air for like 10 years. And they fired the show creator for that episode.
John Kay had way more problems before that. That was just the final – that's it. We're not dealing with this anymore. Yeah. John Kay, he wrote episodes while high. He got into a fight with Nickelodeon executives. He was a heroin addict at the time, so he was high during a good chunk of that, which explains some of the early episodes. He lunged across a table at a Nickelodeon executive and threw a drink in a Nickelodeon executive's wife's face. So that was just the, you know what, we're done with you. That was not what got him fired. That was just the final straw.
I'm thinking about this episode, though, and I think I know the exact shot that was questionable. Because if you remember the episode, this was just like a little 10-minute filler cartoon when the main episode was not long enough. So it was George American. He was entering Ren and Stimpy in a dog show. And to show how harsh the judging was, Mr. Horse was the judge. He comes out, and he's got this little poodle. He says, nope, I don't think this one's going to make it through. And he throws the poodle to a pit bull in the corner who he like the poodle just says, I'll do it myself. And he walks into the pit bull's mouth and pulls it shut.
Oh, I heard that.
And prior to that, there was a Pomeranian dog that got fed to the pit bull, and the pit bull actually chewed him up and spit out his eyes. But this is the fucked up part. What they had to do to make that even arable once was after he spits out the two eyes, they have to blink.
Well, I wasn't that also the episode where he pushed the dog's dew claw in, and there was an extreme close up of a dog's ear filled with ticks.
Yep.
Yep.
So it might have been just all those factors together.
It was just a perfect storm of censorship happening there.
That show would be edgy even today. I don't know how they got away with it.
I remember seeing that when it was on just the one or two times that they aired it. And I remember feeling a little bit queasy about it. I was like, that is not cool.
Well, and the thing with John Kay is he always said in interviews that Nickelodeon was holding him back with their censorship. So remember when Ren and Stimpy party show or whatever it was for all three episodes that aired on Spike TV?
Yes.
That was what John Kay got to do completely uncensored. And it was just a 30-minute long gay and fart joke.
Oh, yes.
And so it's like, really? This is what Nickelodeon was holding you back from? They were actually forcing you to write, what are those things, jokes into the episodes?
Yes, I
am. So sometimes censorship worked, because when John Kay had no censorship, he was awful.
But I am quite sure that my parents would have kept me from that show if they knew about it.
I watched that all the time.
So number two on here is several episodes of Looney Tunes.
Are we talking the racial ones that Yosemite Sam is guarding the Mason-Dixon line because he still thinks the Civil War is going on? Bugs Bunny is trying to pass it, dressing as a stereotypical slave with blackface, big lips, a mammy hat, and all this.
Now, I've seen this one many times. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that was even earlier.
I mean, 50s. For the audience. Yeah, I said 59. Sam takes out a whip. He's about to whip him, and he starts getting on the ground going, please, massa, don't beat this tired old body, massa. And you just go, how was that ever considered not racially insensitive, even in the 50s?
59. I'm going to go, it was 1959, and it was really hard to be racially insensitive.
There was also an episode in 1944 called Bugs Bunny Nips the Nips.
Brad showed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Brad showed that on his webpage. Yeah, that's... It's one of those, you know, that all the Japanese have the huge overbites and they're all yellow with huge eyes. And they only speak in the broken English.
Yes. There was, and actually in 1999, people had, Cartoon Network banned any Speedy Gonzales cartoon.
I remember that because it was insensitive.
That is a pretty broad racial stereotype.
Until in 2002, the League of United Latin American Citizens rallied to resurrect him, arguing that he is a positive cultural icon.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much like, we don't want to be this bitchy, so please allow it.
No, you know who the bad Mexican stereotype for Looney Tunes was? Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Mexican that couldn't do anything, was slow, always wanted a taco, and refused to work. That's a negative stereotype.
And Slowpoke he packed Rodriguez. A gun. He carried a gun.
Everywhere, yes. So, Slowpoke Rodriguez, I could see them getting offended about. Speedy Gonzales, not so much.
And I guess when you're compared to Slowpoke Rodriguez, like, I guess we'll take Speedy Gonzales. At least he's the hero.
And the number one banned cartoon, banned for a completely different reason, is Pokemon.
Is this the epilepsy thing?
Because it was
given
seizures?
Yes, that one specific episode that ended, you know, with 600 something children in a hospital.
What was that episode name? Something of Porygon.
Electric
yeah.
Soldier Porygon is the name of the episode.
Which you I don't think surprised? Is still... I don't think I've ever seen that episode.
You know what I'm surprised was not on this list? The entire cartoon that we never got over here, Garbage Pail Kid. It was banned... If you don't remember, there were ads in TV Guide and in magazines for it, and they pulled it a week before it was set to air. They even had a few commercials for it. There were 7 episodes made when CBS pulled it, but it was based on the Garbage Pail Kids. and it was considered just so gross. CBS said, we will not put this on the airwaves. Never. They eventually released it to DVD, and the Brits ended up airing it, but we never got Garbage Pail Kids over here.
And the reason why I haven't said anything for a while is because I couldn't help it. I looked it up, Josh. Southern Fried Rabbit released May 2nd, 1953.
53, okay.
Yeah.
I was still right in the 50s, though.
Yes.
I was holy shit, right like, decade.
Well, just let me tell you this. Do not Google search Bugs Bunny in blackface. Do not do this.
Garbage Pail Kids, the trading cards were very popular when I was in school, but what fed that popularity was because they were banned. They were so taboo that every kid wanted them.
Yes. I mean, how many teachers did you piss off in elementary school, man?
Oh, yeah. And you would...
By the time I was, I don't even think anybody even knew about them by the time I was. I mean, I'm only 3 years younger than Jowski, so that was a very specific.
Jowski and I are the same age.
That was a very specific time frame for that Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, what we would do
it was not a big window.
The cards were actually stickers.
Yeah.
And so what we do if we had an extra and there was a kid we didn't like, we would put the sticker on his desk, stick it there. Teacher'd get mad at that kid.
What's great is when you can find a Garbage Pail Kid with the same name as a kid you were given to.
Well, and then it didn't help that the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
That was the weirdest movie ever made. Awful. I wouldn't even say awful. It's just weird.
It's one of those movies, Charlie. You and I talked about it when we were on Radiodrome. One of those, how does nobody stop this at some point and go, this is awful? You know, okay, it reminds me of that scene in Ed Wood. You people are making shit!
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
just,
how come
it's
nobody
just
says that to you halfway through something like Garbage Pail Kids the movie? Or does director really go, this is going to be a hit. It's a hit all the way.
I think it could only be like a Springtime for Hitler type situation. Like, I think somebody was trying to f*** somebody over.
Someone's going to tax break.
With the making of that movie, yeah.
It's just the only explanation that makes any sense, Charlie. Because nothing else makes sense with a movie like that, or like you and I brought up Disorderlies. How does a movie like Disorderlies get made and nobody stops it going, this is awful. There's nothing positive in this film. We're halfway done and we haven't made a funny scene yet in this comedy. Maybe we should try.
And
yeah,
that there's
I think
so many people.
Fat Boy's whole careers are just like a prolonged game of quality chicken being played by two opposing executives.
I mean, I could see if it was just one guy doing the whole show because he thinks it's funny. But when you're making a movie, you've got several people involved. You've got more than one person on the script and the director and his crew that nobody would speak up.
Well, and especially on like Garbage Pail Kids, you had tons of special effects. You had all their space effects because, by the way, in the movie, spoiler, they're aliens. But
yeah,
right. you had all their animatronics for the scenes that they could not do with a midget in a costume. You had the midgets in the costumes. You had the space effects. You had an entire special effects department that was being paid a ton of money. And I'm sure the special effects department is not going to turn down a job no matter what. But one of them had to go, man, this is not going on the demo reel.
No, no, don't even mention this again. Let's just go cash our check and work on something else.
It's okay. You don't have to credit ILM. You don't.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're just.
ILM doesn't need the credit.
This is pro bono.
I'm reading different forum threads on what parents do, other shows nowadays that parents ban their kids from. One person is listing Phineas and Ferb.
Okay, that's a great show.
That is a great show.
That all kids should watch.
That's so harmless.
Because it's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
iCarly.
Okay, I can see iCarly because it's borderline.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's oh my god.
My wife really likes that show.
Yeah, you don't know what I went through, Josh. You're lucky you had a son.
Yeah, see.
That's why you've never seen iCarly, son of a bitch.
And see, Charlie, with my son, when he was growing up, he wasn't into most of the kids' shows that were his age appropriate. No, no, no. He was watching my VHSs of Transformers and G.I. Joe and Thundercats and stuff like that. He grew up watching Defenders of the Earth. He did not grow up watching SpongeBob. So having a dad like me, he grew up watching the cool 80s cartoons. And we're not talking that crappy 2003 He-Man. He saw a real homoerotic He-Man.
I loved homoerotic He-Man when I was a kid.
And there's one to grow on.
Yes, there's
the other shows that get banned these days. Obviously, I don't have a kid. I don't watch, a lot of children's TV. So, well, except for My Little Pony, but That's a different
issue.
That's for personal reasons.
For girls.
There's a lot of people actually wanting to ban My Little Pony, not because of the show itself, but because of the all the memes that exist of it. No, all the memes.
Really? I heard that. I just listened to that episode of What the Fob is going to say.
WTF.
Where you guys were talking about that.
But no, a lot of...
I can't believe that was a controversy, Kevin. I can't.
A lot of parents want to ban it.
I understand it, except that's because people are so PC these days.
Well, no, because if you
But no one ever complains about Zecora, the African zebra.
But the reason a lot of parents want it banned isn't because of the show itself or any of the content on the show, is because of all the fans who've created all kinds of disturbing fan art and dirty jokes using images and stuff. That if you were to Google search My Little Pony, and you would get a lot of those things that, yeah, you probably don't want your kid to see.
You might find something as offensive as letting your kid Google search without any supervision.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like,
hey,
I don't...
parents, Rule 34 exists. Deal with it. I don't like seeing Sheila go down on Bobby from Dungeons & Dragons, but it's out there.
Oh, it is.
Like, I don't let my daughter use YouTube unless me or her mom are there. Because...
That would be dangerous otherwise. I can see that being dangerous, Jowski.
Yeah. Because there's times she's just found, like, disturbing stuff when nobody watched, and so we're like, yeah, she can't go to YouTube on her own.
Yeah.
Just stick to playing games on DisneyChannel.com.
Especially if they learn how to turn safe search off on Google Images. No matter what you type in any word known to man, something porn-related will come up.
My wife in the background just says, there's a penis.
Especially muffins.
Something porn-related. You know, type in something that also has a non-sexual meaning, like cream pie. And then Google image search for safe search off.
And
are you gonna insert that
penis.
Clip of me explaining the cream pie again from the previous episode?
I still haven't heard that one. Alex just sent that to me, so
yeah,
I haven't heard
Kevin
that.
Yeah, Kevin. Out. Kevin had all the articulation of a college, like a Rhodes scholar.
Well, I like it. Joust sent it last night. I haven't heard it yet.
The Robin Hood theme from the Disney Robin Hood, because it was the Robin Hood Thief of Wives episode.
Yeah.
So I did, just out of curiosity, did a Google search, safe search off, on the word cream pie. I'm on page 9 and still haven't even found food.
Oh, man.
Page 11.
Internet never changed.
Brilliant and disturbing, Alex. It is. You know?
Internet.
But a friend of mine was pointing out once that every word basically has a porn index. That cream pie clearly has a porn index of 1, because you get porn on page 1.
Blam.
Now, Jowski, now do a safe search on and just see if it brings up actual food, just out of curiosity.
On what?
On cream pie. Just turn safe search on.
Safe search
and type in... and type in cream pie and just see if the food actually comes up.
With safe search on, search for cream pie. Did not match any image results. Try different words.
The internet has completely erased the alternate definition of cream pie.
It's no longer.
Again, I love you, internet. Never change.
I'm sorry. It's just no one has ever searched for that with the safe search on.
Yeah. No. Why are you searching for cream pies with safe search on? There's no point.
Did you mean filth?
Would you like me to turn safe search off so you can see what you're really looking for?
No, let's see if you put like specific like Boston cream pie. Yeah.
On or off.
With safe search off, Boston cream pie gives me nothing but actual pie. And then, like, one vagina.
And then one vagina.
This is back in, like, 98, 99. My wife and I were just curious about how much internet porn there actually was at that point even. So we just would type in, not in Google or anything, just straight URLs, you know, .com. And you'd type in, like, shit on my shoe. and there was a website for it. Horsefuckers.com. There was a website. We actually started to get scared, like, yeah, we're not going to do this anymore. This is starting to get creepy. Everything we put in actually went to a real porn site. And it's like, no, no, getting creepy now. And that was in like 98, 99.
Internet is for porn.
Oh, the thing with the internet is...
By the way, did anybody else use a different search engine for their porn back in the day? I always used AltaVista. That was
AltaVista was my porn engine.
Dogpile.
Ask Jeeves.
Hey, Jeeves, where can I find some porn?
Have you ever Googled Google, just to be really meta?
You know what comes up? Everything.
It actually splits the universe in two, Charlie.
Time stands
Charlie,
still.
You're the one that broke the internet.
Actually, if you Google
the link
Google,
back to Google, which is
it brings up Google.
It's a never-ending circle. It's an Ouroboros.
You just type in everything, click. I can't let you do that, Dave.
Well, no. See, the thing is, you got to type in Google and click. I'm feeling lucky.
Now, I don't know. Do this right now, since I don't have Google up. During Bush's presidency, if you typed in failure and did I'm feeling lucky, it took you to the official Bush administration website. No bullshit.
I think autocomplete.
I'm not joking. Failure meant Bush administration, according to Google.
Well, they do jokes like that a lot, though. Like,
I'm sure the Bush administration was not happy about that joke,
though. If you type in Google and click I'm feeling lucky, it sends you right back to the search engine like nothing happened.
Like for a while,
what they were telling you, Kevin, is we're not playing your game, high team.
Let us never speak of this again. Just walk away.
For a while, Google had a joke that if you typed in Chuck Norris and clicked I'm feeling lucky, it generated an error message of you do not look for Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris finds you.
I like to do a barrel roll one.
Oh yes, if you type do a barrel roll and Google flips around.
I'm not sure if they still have it, but back when I worked at 26, so this is over 2 years ago, if you did the Konami code and searched for something in Google, it brought up like special images. It brought you to a zombie preparedness website.
Well, I remember
if you did up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, well, enter.
For a while, start. If you would do that on ESPN.com, just type in the code, just press up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, BA.
Start.
Yeah, but you couldn't press start on a keyboard.
Start and enter are the same thing.
But if you press that on ESPN.com, it would make like magical ponies and unicorns dance around the page.
If you did that at Marvel.com, it brought up an image of Deadpool as a squirrel threatening you. I don't know if any of those still work, because I guess this was over 2 years ago.
You guys are pretty goddamn nerdy. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a whole lot to add. I just say censorship is a bad thing. Parental guidance is a good thing. You are your own nation when you're a parent, so you can make your own laws, but the minute you try to send missionaries over to the other countries, that's when you become a dick, unless I completely misunderstood the Bible. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday. Right now, stay tuned for the projection booth with Mike White. Before we go, does anyone have anything they want to mention coming up on the site or elsewhere?
No, I don't have anything.
Well, on Radiodrome, Jowski, Brad, and I will talk TV movies.
Oh, yes, that is coming up.
I think at some point this week, there's a nude there's a new podcast on former Geek Juice contributor Tom Badguy's new website. He's just starting it. We just recorded the first episode, and it's pretty funny, so you guys should check it out.
Isn't there one of you guys on it? I can't remember what his name is. His name's McCheese or something, right?
McMullen.
McMullen, whatever.
Oh yeah, that guy. He is a handsome son of a bitch.
He's not nearly as funny as he thinks he is.
Yeah, but there's not a lot he can think about. He's been through a lot.
That's true.
So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Stay nerdy. We'll be right back.
carpets on fire.